Good morning. Let's stand together and worship. Hallelujah. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Glad you all thawed out enough to get here and dug your way out of your driveway. Amen. Wasn't that a crazy storm we had? Wow. Here in the house of the Lord, it's a great place to be. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's worship the Lord together.
Sin is broken. We have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God is risen. He's alive. He's alive. Well, hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives for. He's alive, he's alive. Well, he's the Alpha and Omega, the first and last is he. The curse of sin is broken, we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God has risen, he's alive. Is alive. Well, I can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising the name of Jesus. Oh, I can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Oh, I can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop praising the name of Jesus. No, I can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising the name of Jesus. And he is King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is Lord forever. He is King of Kings. Yes, he is Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is Lord forever. So I can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising the name of Jesus. No, I can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising the name of Jesus.
One more time, sing it out.
I can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising the name of Jesus.
No,
praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus.
Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, God, today. Lord, we praise your name today. We honor you, Lord, today. God, we know there's a lot happening in our world today. We know, Father God, there's a lot of things going on. But Lord, we just stand in agreement today that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords, that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, we declare that today on this Sunday morning in this place, together with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord, that we are in your hands. We just love you, Lord, today, and we praise you. Just give the Lord praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, oh God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Pastor Phil, come on up. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Glad to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. And want to say that if you're here visiting today, trying to mess up pastor stuff here. If you're here visiting today, we want to say welcome, welcome. And if you're watching online and maybe this is your first time, we want to say, hey, welcome to Noble Assembly of God. If you're in the house today, in the seat back in front of you is a card. It's a visitor card. And we'd ask that you take it and fill it out and place it in the offering bag that's going to pass in just a little bit here. And that will give us a record of your attendance and help us to know that you came today and be able to welcome you. And like I said, we're just glad that you are here and you're hanging out with us. And we're just believing today that not only you, but everyone in this place will be touched by the Lord today. How many of you came today expecting the Lord to touch you today? Amen. Come with a attitude of anticipation and expectation. And so I've got a few announcements for you this morning. Tonight is family bowling night. And I don't know about you. I'm not a very good bowler, but I'm going to take my best. I'm going to take my best shot at it. And anyway, if you're going to come bowling with us, we'd ask that you'd sign up on the sign up sheet back there, just so we can kind of anticipate who's coming tonight. It'll start at 5 o'clock, and we'll be at Sooner Bowl. It's $10 per person or $40 per family, and that includes 2 hours of bowling and your shoes. And I think we got 40 or 50 people already signed up, so we're going to have a great time, and would love for you to come and join us tonight in fellowship, and we're expecting a lot of fun. So we want to invite you to that. Vacation Bible School is coming up. Sign-up's right out there, and Ms. Phyllis Ali is going to be leading that up, and so she'd love for you to help. She'll take as much help as she can get, right, Ms. Phyllis? Yes, that's what I figured. And then next Sunday, I need to tell you about a couple of things. And that is this: next Sunday after church, if your young person is going to Mission Arlington with us, we've got a group of 20 coming from here. We're going to meet up with the other two churches at Crossroads. So we're going to take a couple of vehicles over there and have lunch and have a big team meeting, because 2 weeks from today, we leave to go to Mission Arlington for spring break for our missions trip. And we are super excited about it and just want to be able to get together with the other youth groups and get ready. So next Sunday, if you have a young person, they will just stay with me right after service, and we'll get ready, and I'm gonna take them over to Crossroads, and we're gonna have a team meeting there with the other two churches, and it's gonna be great. So, and then next Sunday evening, at the conclusion of our service, we will have our annual family meeting, so you don't want to miss that. It's we've been announcing it for, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, and now it's upon us. And so we want you to make sure that you know that, and hopefully you can join us on that evening. I ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. How many know the Lord is good? The Lord is good. We want to say thank you again for those of you that brought the baby bottles back for the Eden Clinic. We're still receiving those. Maybe you forgot. I had somebody today say, hey, I was just trying to get here. I was trying to get through the ice and snow and everything, and just slipped my mind. That's fine. You can bring them by the office this week. That would be awesome. And thank you for those of you who gave faithfully to that to bless the Eden Clinic. Well, let's bow our heads as we pray over the tithe and offering this morning. Lord, we once again come to you. Lord, there's never a moment in which we want to ever take our mind off the fact that everything we have comes from you. And Lord, we know that difficult times come, but yet through it all, you help us to persevere. And Lord, as we are obedient in our giving, as we're obedient in doing all that you've called us to do, Lord, we know that you can take our time and our talents and our resources and our money, and you can multiply it to do much greater things than we could ever do on our own. And Lord, we thank you for this tithe and offering today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and worship the Lord. I've been amazed at some of the videos and pictures I've seen of the believers over in Ukraine and Russia. In the midst of all that's happening in that country, I've seen pictures and videos of believers just worshiping the Lord and saying, Jesus, we love you. Lord, we're just standing and believing and praying for our country, but Lord, our trust is in you. Our hope is in you. You're our provider and our protection. I've just been blessed by that. So as we gather on this Sunday to worship, we're gathering with people all over the world that all name the name of Jesus, that all trust in him. What a privilege. What a privilege we have to be a part of the family of God. Amen. Hallelujah. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation we believe. We believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. Thank you, Lord. There is only one salvation.
We believe. Yes, Lord.
We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you, God. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love invade, let the church live loud. Our God will save. We believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe resurrection, and he's coming back
He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe. We believe. We believe. Hallelujah, Lord. We believe your word. We believe your word, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many believers we got here this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No matter what we face, Lord, we know that you are a way maker. We know that you are a miracle worker, a promise keeper. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. Sing it out. You are here. You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. Touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. Healing every heart. I worship you. Yes, Lord. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you.
I worship you.
You are here. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are my waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Lord, that is who you are. Yes, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. 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 You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. One more time. You're my waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our waymaker, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for keeping your promises, for working miracles in our lives. Sometimes we don't even realize it. We don't even see it at the moment. It doesn't occur to us that you're working in the background, and we don't even comprehend it at times. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for Sister Jessie Gerken this morning, who fell. Thankful that she didn't have any broken bones, Lord, but she did have some injuries. I pray that you just be with her, Lord. This dear saint of God who's loved you and served you so many, many years. I pray that you touch her, Lord. I pray, Father God, for Pastor Chad, who's ill today with the flu. I ask that you touch him. I pray for Natasha Looney and her family as her father passed away on Friday. Jimmy Jones, I ask God that you give comfort and peace to Natasha. Father, I pray for the situation in Ukraine. God, we just stand with those believers who are undergoing persecution. We pray, Father God, that this move by Putin of Russia would come to an end, that he would realize this is not what needs to happen. Lord, just intervene. We know Bible prophecy speaks of things, but Lord, we still stand and pray, Lord, that you protect and that you provide shelter and salvation and comfort. Lord, that you work through this situation to bring glory to your name. May people turn to you who may not otherwise turn to you. May it unite the Christians, brothers and sisters around the world, that there are members of the body of Christ that are undergoing some tough times. And Lord, we just lift them up and stand with them today. Because who knows, it very well could be on our soil someday. So God, we pray for your intervention. We pray for your help and your healing. We pray your will be done. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray for my daughter Kelsey and Briley and Blair, who are moving to Texas this week. Pray that you keep your hand upon them. Thank you, Lord, for the last year that they've been a part of our church. I pray that you would just be with them, Lord, and help them to find a good church home. Go before them. Lord, I know there's many other needs represented here today. Many other people who need your help and your touch. I pray that you would just touch them right here in this sanctuary and those watching over the live stream. We pray that you touch, meet their need. Most of all, their need spiritually, Lord. If they're not right with you, Lord, I can't imagine living in this world in the days we live in and a person is not right with Jesus. Because we know that that is so very, very important. The most important thing of all is that we have our relationship with God where it needs to be. So Lord, if that's someone today that is within the sound of our voice, Lord, that doesn't know for sure that Jesus Christ is the Lord of their life, may they put their trust in you today. Lord, I pray for Pastor Phil as he comes to preach this morning. I pray your anointing rest upon him. Thank you, Lord, for the good work that he does here in our church. Thank you, Lord, for all of the wonderful people that call this their church home. May you continue to bless and prosper each one. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you to Jeremy Caldwell for clearing our parking lot yesterday. Would you give a hand to Jeremy for doing that? Appreciate that. It was a weird kind of ice, wasn't it? It wasn't like your normal ice. It was weird. It was hard to break. But praise God, the sun will do a great amount of good. Just like the S-O-N will do a lot of great good in our land and in our lives. Amen? How many are glad you know the S-O-N of God? And we're thankful for the S-U-N as well. Amen. Amen. Pastor Phil, God bless you. Come and bring the word this morning. What a wonderful associate pastor, mayor, whatever we have. You're honorable. Amen.
Come on. Come on. We get situated here and then we will get going. Yeah, let me say again, thank you to Jeremy for doing the parking lot. I was yesterday going to youth conference and I'm scrambling, looking at the, I can look at the, by the way, if you're in our parking lot, I can see you, all right? So on my phone, I can look at the cameras and look and see what's going on. We had left for the conference yesterday, and if you or I had gotten our ice skates out, we could have ice skated on the parking lot. It was a skate. It was solid ice, and I just kept envisioning Pastor trying to attempt a triple axel, and yeah. First of all, no one wants to see him fall, and no one wants to see him in a figure skating outfit either. So I called Jeremy. We started coming up with ideas, and the best idea I had, right, because I'm not as cool as Jeremy, was I said, well, what we'll do is we'll tell everybody to pull up underneath the carport because, you know, that'll be that way they won't slip. Then get out of the car, and then, you know, a group of four or five guys, you know, Shane was so close. He just didn't know he was so close to parking cars today. We were going to go valet cars out in the parking lot, you know, and then afterwards we would bring them back. And that way people wouldn't, you know, fall on the ice. And I thought that was a great plan. Then later on, I looked on the cameras and here was Jeremy going back and forth. And I thought, no, that's a better plan. No, that's even better plan than what I had. So thank you, Jeremy, for that. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? How many of you have ever heard the expression, it's not what you know, but who you know? It's not what you know, but who you know. I'm always amused on Facebook, people posting, and they'll just post something like this. Who do you know that can, and then fill in the blank, right? Who do you know that can sell me 3 round bales of hay, right? Who do you know that can come fix a pipe underneath, our septic system, or connected to our septic system? Who do you know that could come right now in the middle of a blizzard and fix my heater, right? How many of you read those, right? Right? There are certain ones that are more interesting to me. So like somebody said the other day, hey, who knows, there was somebody put on there something about an ostrich egg, and I don't need an ostrich egg, but I was curious. I just wanted to know who could get a hold of an ostrich egg. Like that was pretty cool, right? And then there's other posts such as like, who do you know that makes the best cinnamon rolls? Well, I'm in. Like who is that, and how do I become friends with them? Right. And then there's other things like, where's the freshest produce? I don't care where that's at, right? But it's interesting because what we find out in life is this. People do not struggle with the idea of what their need is. You ask anybody, what could you use help with? Well, I've got, I really could use somebody to do this. Well, I really could use somebody to do that. And boy, my house needs to be re-roofed or whatever it may be. But they often struggle, evidenced by Facebook, and by our lives in general, to find somebody who can remedy that problem. They know what they need. They just don't know who. They don't know the person to fix the need that they have. And the title of my message this morning is Know Your God. Know Your God. How many of you know that it is a good thing to know God? Come on. Know your God. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is one of 4 books that are known as the prison epistles. And they were written by the Apostle Paul. And the theme of these 4 books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, the theme of these 4 books is this, is the church as the body of Christ. It talks about the church being the body of Christ and then emphasizes the importance of unity between the Jewish people and the Gentile people, that we've got to all come together. We got to all come together, but not just to come together because we're in numbers, not just because we just need some more people to hang out with, but because each of us need to know our God. And so in each of the prison epistles, Paul includes a prayer for knowledge. And I want to read to you out of each of these, where in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. How many of you know that we should always be attempting to know God better? And so in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes there and he says, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation is given to you so that you may know God better. All right, if we flip over to Philippians 1:9. And here's what it says again, prayer. It says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and the depth of insight. So once again, here in the church of Philippi in Philippians, which, man, isn't that a great name for a book? Philippians. You'll get it in a minute. Okay. Here he is again praying that he's not just praying the blessings over them, but specifically praying that they would understand and know their God better. All right. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And here's what it says. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." Here's the prayer again. And here's what he said. "I'm praying and I'm asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life," come on now, "worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in what? In the knowledge of God." You ever heard the expression that you should never stop learning? It's you never get too old to learn. Can I tell you something? Whether you've been saved and a child of God for one moment, one day, one hour, one week, or for decades, we still need to aspire to know our God even deeper. And so we look over at Philemon 6, and here's what it says. "I pray," you catching the theme here? Paul prays a lot for the church of Christ, the body of Christ. "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ." It's not what you know, but who you know. Are you with me today? In each of these cases, Paul uses a word, epignosis. And this word bears the connotation of not, instead of intellectual knowledge, just being an intellect, instead it's more of a revelation. His prayer, the word that he uses, is that he prays that God would reveal himself to you and I. Anybody know somebody who's too smart for their own good? Right? God wants our knowledge of him to not be something that we can just go, well, just here you go. You'll just know it because of knowledge. But he wants our relationship to be so intimate with him, and we're going to talk about that our knowledge of him and the way that we know him is solidified by revelation that he reveals himself to do. So perhaps the Holy Spirit inspired this use of the word. And maybe it did it to counter the teaching of the Gnostics. See, the Gnostics presumed to be the authority of the revealed knowledge of God. They said, listen, I know what God wants because I've studied it. I know it front and backwards. I've dissected the scripture and I know everything. And the Gnostics, to consider themselves to be the utmost authority on the will and the will of God and the revelation. But I would tell you today that God wants to reveal himself in a way that can't just be read in books, that God's revelation is fresh and new every day. You know how I know that to be true? Because as we read through scripture and we have our daily reading, and I encourage you, if you're not reading in the Bible every day, you should be doing so. But as we do that, I've read verses time after time after time, and Pastor, I'm sure you can attest to this, and I've read verses that I've read many times before, and yet God's revelation opened up a new truth in it that I'd never seen before. The depth of God is deeper than we're ever going to be able to dig, but we just keep digging. Paul is assuring the believers that God can be known personally and intimately by anyone who's in the body of Christ. Can I tell you something? That you can know God in a deep, deep way. You don't have to be the pastor. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be a deacon or a board member. You don't have to be somebody that everybody knows in the church. If you're a part of the body of Christ, if you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God, he wants to reveal himself to you. You know how I know that? Because he tore the curtain in two. He tore the curtain in two. He said, I don't no longer want to be hidden from my people. I no longer want my revelation to come through someone else. I want to be able to reveal the relationship to be between me and you, between me and each part of the body of Christ. God is not a respecter of persons. He wants us to know him by revelation. Paul repeatedly speaks in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 9. He talks about the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will, which came by revelation rather than by human intellect or wisdom. He identified this glorious revelation of God in and through Christ in this way. He said in verse 4, and I'm probably going to go a little too fast for you, Kate, but you can do your very best. In verse 4, he talks about that we are chosen in him. He revealed that we're chosen in him. In verse 6, in Ephesians 1, he talks about how we're accepted in him. How many of you, it feels good to know that God chose you? How many of you have ever been to the store, though, before, and you picked up, like, you know, how many of you are, like, experts at picking fruit? Anybody good at picking fruit? How many of you, it didn't matter, like, you're never going to get the good one, right? You thought it was good? Like, I try to pick avocados, I never pick the right one. But, all right, but how many of you know that God didn't just choose you, but he accepted you? He picked you up, and he didn't go, no, that's not a good one. He picked you up and said, that's a great one. Isabella, you're a great avocado. That we're chosen, we're accepted. Listen to this, that in verse 11, he describes us as the inheritance in him. That we're chosen in him, that we're accepted in him, that we're an inheritance in him. And in verse 14, it says that we're sealed by the Spirit in him. So we know him by revelation. But we know him by relationship too. In verse 3, Paul says it this way when he emphasizes that the Father has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. In chapter 2, verse 6, it says that, you don't have to put that up there, said that he made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Listen very carefully. Here's the reason why it's important when God refers to the heavenly place, because Paul is indicating the following about the resurrection of the Father. It says that in chapter 1, verse 20, it says that he set him, Jesus, at his own right hand in the heavenly place. What you need to understand is that God's relationship with you, when he speaks about having relationship with you, his vision is not upon this earth. His vision is about the relationship he's going to have with you in the heavenly places. That just as Jesus left here and sat at the right hand of the Father, so too shall you someday, by being in relationship with him, his revelation tells us that someday this body's going to waste away. And we don't need to cry about that, because my relationship with Jesus Christ will be in the heavenly places. Are you with me today? Come on. I wrote my notes here. This relationship is described as being in the heavenly or spiritual rather than in the material realm. Perhaps the greatest lack in believers today is not the knowledge of or about God, but often there's a failure to move from the foundational revelation of God. I know who God is, to the intimate relationship with him. That creates a trust and submission. We got a problem in our world today that there's too many people who know who God is, but they don't know their God. You know how I know that people don't know their God? Is because they begin to speak things that are contrary to what God has already promised us to be. We have people in the church today, I'm not talking about just Noble Assembly, I'm talking about the church as a worldwide, who speak doom and gloom. Well, what are we going to do? And yet, the Bible says, God's already revealed to us that we're more than conquerors. It speaks, they walk in a lack of hope and in grace and in mercy and love and joy. And yet, I know what the Word says, that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. They know who God is, but they don't know their God. So this morning, I want us to look at three things that we must seek to know about God. Three things that we must seek to know about God. The first one is this. We need to know the purpose of God. We need to know the purpose of God. Paul's primary concern is that believers would know the purpose of God, the Father, in the eternal plan of redemption. I want us to look at Ephesians 1:5. Ephesians 1:5 says this. And then we're going to look at 1:11. It says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So here's, we already know that God's purpose was what? Okay, let's look at verse 11. Can we look at verse 11? It says, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. What was God's purpose? God's purpose. I want us to talk about God's purpose, and in it, I want to talk about God's plan. Did you know that God's plan is unilateral? It means this, that it started with God the Father as he created us. It continued to God the Son as he redeemed us and saved us. And it moved forward to the Spirit, who then empowers us to move forward. Here's what you understand about God's plan and purpose, is that it's unilateral. It goes across all three parts of the Trinity. There's never a gap. It has no, there's no created being that is its equal. And fallen man, we don't have any bargaining power. We don't have any bargaining power. There was nothing we could do to inherit God's plan other than to accept the gift. We don't have anything to negotiate. You ever gone into negotiation before and you're trying to negotiate something? We don't have anything to negotiate with God. It's a free gift that he's already given to us. But I do believe we serve a God who's not a tyrant. He would give all that we ask. He would give all that we ask. Here's another thing we know about God's plan. God's plan is unalterable. You can't alter it. It was established before man's creation. We know this because in Ephesians 1:4, here's what it says. Ephesians 1:4 says, it's coming. Here we go. According as he hath chosen us in him, he has chosen us in him. Everybody say in him. Before. The foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. God's plan is unalterable. God's plan was established before man was ever created. It was before the foundation of the world. In verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10, I told poor Kate, I thought I was going to jump around everywhere, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Basically, that here's what it says. It started before the creation of time, and it was fully done in eternity. It's unalterable. You know, another thing about God's plan is that it's unequaled. God's plan is unequaled. It's beyond human comprehension. God's plan is unequaled because it's beyond human comprehension. As the mayor, sometimes we have some plans that come across the city council, and it'll be for, you know, putting in a new sewer pipe or new sewer system or working on our water treatment facility or things that are way above anything I've ever studied or know. And I look at the plans and I listen to those who are the expert in what they do. And at some point, though, it goes beyond me knowing every little intricacy of how that all works. I have to take their word. I have to take their word on that they've done their due diligence. They've done it the correct way. There's a need for it. And then we approve it. Well, here's the deal is, at some point, I have to trust the experts. I have to trust the experts. Are you with me today? God's plan is beyond human comprehension. As a matter of fact, in verse 9, as I've referred to, it says, it's made known unto us the mystery of his will. Here's the deal. It's God reveals himself to us, and sometimes all he needs is submission. God, I trust you. Some of the most powerful things we can say to the Lord is, God, I trust you. God, I submit to that plan. God, I don't know exactly how that all works or how it's going to be put together. I don't even know how that looks down the line, but I trust that you know exactly what needs to happen, and I'm going to submit to that plan. In verse 21 of Ephesians, Paul says it this way. I'm working her hard. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. There is no other power equal or superior to God. You see, once you see the purpose of God, you begin to understand and recognize the riches of God. The riches of his mercy, the riches of his grace, and the riches of his glory. God wants to reveal himself to us so that it empowers us to be better in who he wants us to be. We've got to take time to know the purpose of God. We've also got to take time to know the passion of God. How many of you, raise your hand, would consider yourself passionate people? Come on. Like, if I wanted to fight for something, you'd want me on your team because I'm passionate about it. Come on. Yeah. I tell people all the time, God never gave me the gift of moderation. I'm all or nothing, you know. I'm either eating a lot of food and not exercising, or I'm just take off for a 6-mile run. So aggravates my parents to death. So like, son, that is not healthy at all. I'm just not a moderation kind of guy. I'm pretty passionate. But you know God is a passionate God? Did you know the God that you serve, the God that you gave your heart to, is a passionate God? Here's what he's passionate about. He's passionate for man to be redeemed from sin. God is a God who's passionate that you would be redeemed from your sin. That's why he gave his only son, so that you could be redeemed from sin. From sin that's in the present life, he wants you to be redeemed from the things that bind you today. He wants you to be set free today. The things that are holding you back today, God is passionate that you would be set free from that sin today. The things that keep you from going forward in what he has for you, God is passionate to see you be set free from that. God is passionate to see us be set free from the curse of sin for eternity. So it's not just a today thing, but God is passionate that you be set free forever. God is passionate that we be set free, because the scripture says, for all have sinned, right? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so God knows that he has a creation who has sinned. But Romans 6:23 says what? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so God is passionate about lifting man, you and me and everyone in this room and who's watching online today, from the curse of sin, not just for the moment, not just for the week, not just for a lifetime, but for eternity. God is passionate that we be redeemed from our sin. God is passionate for man to enjoy his fellowship. Chapter 1, verse 3 says this, blessed us, that he blessed us with all blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. God desires that we would enjoy his fellowship from this day forward to eternity. Remember being in a children's church, and how many of you guys went to children's church? How many? Oh, come on now. Come on. Anybody have a teacher you thought was weird? Just a little weird? Come on. Come on. All right. Yeah. I won't name them. All right. In children's church, and I just remember our children's church teacher and our Sunday school teachers, they would teach us about heaven and being with God in heaven. And you're trying to wrap your mind around that. You're thinking, what's it look like? And if you're like me, I'm an opportunist. So they're talking about like streets of gold. And I'm thinking like, ching, 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 like take a little of that home for me. And how much is that going to be worth, Pastor? Like streets of gold. It's a lot. I just remember thinking about being in heaven. But now, as I'm an adult, and you begin to think about all that life has brought you through so far, and as you continue and all that, and you think to yourself, God doesn't just want fellowship with me right now. He does, but it's not just now. This fellowship, this relationship is going to continue into eternity. We're going to be in fellowship with him forever. How many of you know if you were working on something you knew was only going to last for a year, you probably wouldn't work on it as hard as if you were working on something that was going to last for an eternity? God's working on something inside you and me that'll never waste away because our fellowship with him is eternal. You know what God's passionate about? God's passionate about the fact for man to reflect his image. Tell the young people all the time, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You show me the people you hang out with, and I'll show you your future. You know how we reflect the image of God? Is we spend time with God. God is passionate that we would reflect his image individually, that we would individually reflect. Listen, I'm telling you right now, This is so cool. One of my favorite things about being a parent is when somebody sees one of my kids not next to me, somewhere else, and they, not knowing, they've never, and go, that's your kid, isn't it? Right? I love that. I love the fact. Maybe it's based upon the way they look. They go, oh, that little girl, that is Kelly Freeman's daughter. I know that for a fact, all right? We love that. Come on. Don't you love that when people are like, that's your kid? Yeah. All right, some of y'all don't like your kids. Okay, so. I love my kids. So, all right. Pastor, next week, family unity. That's what we're going to preach about. Love your children. I love it. I love it when they can identify. They go, oh, man, he acts just like him. Oh, he looks just like him. He talks just like him. He thinks just like him. Oh, that kid right there, that Elliot Freeman, that Braylon Freeman. Oh, that is definitely Pastor Phil's kids. I know that's Pastor Phil's kids. I've had people tell me before, they said that they were teaching in the school, and they said, I knew they were your kids before I knew that they were your kids. I knew that that was your son. I love that. I think that's awesome. I think that's so cool. Can I tell you something? We have a God. We have a God who loves it when people can identify that we're the sons and daughter of the Most High before we ever say we're a Christian. They say, hey, you know what? He looks like him. Oh my goodness, he talks like him. He thinks like him. He treats people just like I would think God would treat people. He speaks like him. He takes life upon like him. Oh, I know that she's the daughter of the Most High God. I know that he's the son of the Most High God. God has a passion that we would reflect his image. Come on now. You can clap for that. You can clap for that. Amen. Amen. God wants us to individually look like him. He wants us to look like his image. And can I tell you something? He also wants the church as a corporate body to reflect him. He wants us to be identified as being You know, I've been to some churches. I've been to some churches that didn't look like the God that I knew. Are you with me today? I know we're getting that's a little touchy right there, but listen, I told you about it, and I talk about it quite a bit because it just so dramatically affects me. I just can never wrap my mind around it. I told you about the time that I listened to a guy preach, and he preached an entire sermon and never used a verse one time. Not one scripture in the entire sermon. I thought to myself, lecture with whatever. I was just like a lecture, I guess. If you can't use, the only thing I have to offer you is God's word. If you ever come into this place and you think to yourself, man, I guess we're just going to hear Pastor Phil speak. Man, go do something else. Go do something else. We'll go to lunch. We can just go to lunch if you just want to hear my opinion about things. All right? We're in this place today because we want God to speak to us through his word and through his preacher and through his pastor. All right? God wants us. He's passionate about us reflecting his image. God is passionate for man to become his inheritance. Verse 18 says this. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened so that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. You may know the hope of his calling. Scholars interpret verse 18 as man being God's inheritance. God's inheritance. How many of you ever have inherited something? Come on. You ever inherited? My parents have informed me they're spending my inheritance. It's what it is, whatever. So, one time we were at a different house they live now, and we were discussing some paintings and some things they have, and we were talking about who liked what and the other, and we were talking about, you know, and first of all, let me just say from the kids' perspective, anytime you start talking about that kind of stuff, it's a little depressing, okay, Mom and Dad? It's a little depressing. You know, at some point you feel not only obligated, but you feel it's appropriate to go. But beyond all this, we'd rather just keep you, right? You know what I mean? But so you're talking about inheritance. But let me give you a thought here for just a second. God could have anything he wanted in the whole world. He could have it all. He could have anything. And the only thing he cares about on this spinning earth is you. The only thing that God desires to inherit is you. I want you to think about all the things that men and women and everybody go, oh, you're thinking, like that question, well, if you had $1 million, what would you buy? If you had a kajillion dollars, what would you buy? All those things that people filled in, God has not the least been interested in any of those. God wants you. That's the only thing. The rest of it can waste away. God wants you. When you know God's passion, your desire, our desire to honor and serve him becomes greater. The last one is this. We know his purpose. We know his passion. The last thing I would share with you today is this, that we know the promises of God. We know the promises of God. We know that our hope is not in vain. The scripture tells us our hope is not in vain. Here's the truth is that human intellect questions, right? We're natural questions. We question who, you know, why and how, and our kids, that's their favorite question. Why? And of course, our favorite answer is because I said so, right? Right? Human intellect questions, well, why are you doing that? And how come you're doing that? Human experience discourages, right? Because things that we go, well, God, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's happening right now. God, did you factor in this when you were building the plan? It's just human nature that our intellect would question, that our human experience would discourage us. And here's the deal. Human effort fails. So many people trying to do it all on their own without God, they just try to do it in their own strength. And so our confidence has to be in God. He has all the answers. He is the encourager. The Holy Spirit brings to encourage, and he never fails. We know that his promises tell us that his power is at work within us to bring us spiritual maturity. How many of you struggle with maturity? Come on now. Let's go. His power works within us to bring us spiritual maturity. We should always be working, God, help me to be more mature in all things. It helps us to establish unity among believers. It helps us to stand against the attacks of the enemy. We know the promises of God. The promises say that I will build something great in you. Even if man or women or anybody speaks against you and says you can't do this, God's promises are he'll build in us what he wants to. God's promises are he'll unite us together, even when there's many differences about. I mean, there's differences of opinion in this room, let's be honest. Right? But God promised that he would bring unity among us. And God promised, his word reveals to us that we have an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We have an enemy that comes against us. But God's promises says that he will help us to stand against the attacks of the enemy. Did God promise us that life would be easy? No. Matter of fact, in Scripture it says you'll face many trials. Trials of many kinds. He said that you'll be persecuted. But God's promises says that we don't have, this is our hope, is that we don't have to depend upon our own strength, our own mortality, our own inferiority, but that we are the children of God. And so God's promises is that he will redeem us. He will strengthen us. He will help us. And God's promise to us is this, is that this earthly life that we're living right now is only a prelude to the eternal life that he's promised us so very soon. It's just a short journey. Now, let me say this, a little caveat. Just because we're only going to be here for a little while doesn't mean that we should waste our time here. Greatest honor we can do is not just make heaven, but to take others with us. Christ, the Son, has redeemed us. The Holy Spirit has sealed us. And I know for a fact that God's promises says that the Father will receive us. The Scripture says that someday, Sheila Wiseman, you're going to stand before the Lord and the Lord's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And in that moment, when Stephanie Velasquez, when the Lord says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you won't care anything about what's happened on this earth. Melissa Clark, when the Lord says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you'll be like, whoo, totally worth it. Totally worth it. My challenge to you today is this, as I close, is to know your God. To know his purpose, to know his passion for you, and to know his promises. When you know God, you will trust him. I don't mean just say, I trust God. No, you'll trust him. You'll trust him with the things that are hard. It's easy to trust God with the things that are going okay, but it's hard when we got to go relinquish control and trust God for the things that are so difficult. Every promise and provision of his word is absolute and will be fulfilled according to his timetable. I conclude with this thought. J.I. Packer wrote a book a long time called Knowing God. And in it, he wrote four things that are crucial that knowing God involves. Here it is. Number one, listening to God's word and receiving it as the Holy Spirit interprets it. If you're not reading God's word, you need to. And you need to depend on the Holy Spirit to help you to interpret not only what it means, but what it means for you. The second thing is that it involves noting God's nature and character as his word and his work reveals it. You need to notice and realize when God's working in your life that it's not you that did it, right? That you prayed, you asked the Lord, and you watched him work. Amen? Amen. Number three is accepting his invitations and doing what he commands. Now, accepting his invitations is one thing. Doing what he commands, that's a whole nother challenge. God, use me is easy. God, I will do it so much harder. And number four, recognizing and rejoicing in the love recognizing and rejoicing in the love that he has shown. It's not what you know. Some of you are a lot smarter than I am. It's not what you know. It's who you know. And the thing that's going to get us through this life into an eternity that God's promised us is knowing God in a deeper way. Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you so much for your provision. Lord, I thank you so much, God. I thank you so much that you're passionate about your people, that you have a plan, you have a purpose, and that you desire to be in revelation and relationship with us. May you reveal yourself to us every single day. May the mysteries of your will be something new we find every morning. May the mysteries of the truth of who you are be the life spring of our life. Lord, may you continue to speak your wisdom and your knowledge into us. And may we grow in our relationship with you. Lord, I thank you for every person in this place. No matter what's happening in their life right now, no matter what's going on, we know this. We have a God who's passionately fighting for us. As the worship team comes and sings, I want to open up the altar. It's just 11:42. We got plenty of time. I want to take just a few minutes. And would you find a place around the altar and just say, God, would you reveal yourself to me in a new way today? I think if we would ask God today, God would reveal to us today something new. Something new. How many of you would like a fresh revelation from the Lord today? Amen? Amen. The worship team's going to come sing. And let's just hit the altars and ask God to reveal himself to us.
Sorrows and trains.
Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar.
Nothing that God desires more than to reveal himself in a way that God causes your relationship with him to grow closer. He wants you to know him more intimately. He wants you to know him in a deeper way. And the thing about it is it's for your benefit, not his. Because the more we know Jesus, the stronger we are, the more secure we are, the more knowledgeable we are, but most of all, the most equipped we can be to do what he's called us to do, to live a life that he died for so that you could have. I love it because it says that we can live as more than conquerors, an abundant life, not just life. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again as I close. God did not desire and die on the cross so that you could survive this world. He died on the cross so that you could thrive. That's his desire for you. He's passionate about it. Let's go out this week and live in the image of Jesus Christ, that people would know who we are simply by seeing us. Lord, I thank you for every person in this place. I thank you, God, that we want to know you in a deeper way. Because it's not what we know, but who we know. And we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know the Creator of the universe, and we know the Redeemer of mankind. We know the one who gives life and gives it more abundantly. We know the one who desires to be in fellowship with us for an eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. If you want to go bowling with us tonight, sign up. We're going to have a great time. Until then, see you.